It's your time on Her Radio. Be a part of the show. Make your comments, ask your questions by email. Ask her at radiomd.com
or by calling
877-711-5211. Time to ask her.
I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Michelle's off today. Well, we got some questions here, and the first one really hits home to me as a physician. And the question has been asked of me so many times, heck, I just said I'm going to put it out there. Do I need an annual physical? Well, old school would say, show up every year and do the same old thing. Well, not so much. Now we have new evidence. The British Medical Journal in 2012 did a fabulous study, and what they found was that annual checkups don't help people avoid death, hospitalizations, worry, or future appointments. Oh, no. Wow, what a shocker that was to so many people. In addition, an annual physical can lead to unnecessary procedures that put a patient at risk for complications and also push up medical costs. So what's a girl to do? All right. So here's what I would do. No matter who you are out there, but this is especially true as you get older, honey, that's code for 40 and over, what you really want to do is get with your primary care provider. Sometimes it's a physician assistant, a nurse practitioner, or a physician, or maybe all the above, you got them all on your team, and just get them to know who you are. Have one good, complete physical so that you understand what your baseline is. There are shockers up there. You may find out your blood pressure's up, and you never knew. You may find out your blood sugar's up, and you never knew. But it's really good to be able to establish more than just a laboratory connection, but a real emotional connection, so that when you need this person on an emergency basis, they know who you are. So it's important then. Should you be doing this absolutely every year? The younger you are, absolutely not. You don't need it unless you have a medical condition like type 1 diabetes where you need to have checkups on an annual basis, and always work that out with your primary care team. They'll help guide you as to how often you should schedule something like that. But for everyone else, if you're in great shape and you're fit and you're eating well and taking good care of yourself, you know, really, just so long as your physician and your primary care people have met with you just once and you got your baselines down, probably every couple years, 2-3 years if you're young, and that's perfectly fine. But like I said, this is an individualized thing. And by the way, an annual physical is no guarantee that everything is going to be great in your life. You got to stay on top of yourself too. So like my wonderful co-host Michelle King-Robeson would always say, be your own best advocate. All right, here's another great question. Should I buy organic foods only? Well, in the past, everyone would say, oh, come on, we got to buy organic foods. By definition, they're the best. Well, not so much. As it turns out, this is an interesting, complex question. Recent studies have now shown that in regards to nutrients, organic foods still have the risk of containing some level of toxin. Now, listen to me. You're going to have the same level of vitamins and nutrients whether you buy organic or not. That's a shocker to a lot of people. They thought that maybe only organic would have the highest level of nutrient, but the answer is not really. The only main difference between having organic and non-organic food is the level of toxin. Now, this does not mean at all that organic food has no toxin in it. It just means it has the least amount of toxin. And we're talking about things like pesticides. About 7% of organic produce and 38% of conventional produce across the United States and Europe contains detectable amounts of pesticides, according to a very recent study. And it says that the U.S. Department of Agriculture says that in 2010, 59% of conventional produce in the U.S. contained detectable amounts of pesticides. And that's after a proper washing, too. So, Pooh, what's all this mean to you? It means that, you know, we're trying to do the best we can out there with pesticides and the rest of it. And if that type of thing, having pesticides on your foods and toxins in general, really means something to you, then you're going to pay more. And, you know, and you're going to be choosing organic over non-organic food. This is an individual choice and a unique choice to you. You need to understand this on a personal level. So just ask yourself those questions, and that'll help out big time. All right. Another question. Now we're going to switch over to moans, hormones. How can I calculate my ovulation? Believe it or not, this is a really popular question, especially among our wonderful listeners on Her Radio on Empower Her. Knowing when you're ovulating is crucial if you want to conceive. During this time, your body releases an egg to be fertilized. However, your menstrual cycle can be a little tricky, leaving you confused when you and your partner should be trying. There are many factors involved here. So let's just look at this for a second. There are a lot of ways to be able to do this. Now, when you look at ovulation per se, what you're really looking at is a release of an egg from your ovary, and that egg has a chance to get fertilized in the first place. And when it gets fertilized, boom, you're pregnant. You're most fertile from 2 to 3 days before you ovulate throughout the day of ovulation. If you know when you're going to ovulate, you can time sex accordingly and boost your chances of getting pregnant, for that matter. So there are a lot of ways to be able to understand how to do this. There's even a calculator. If you go on Google or any of your search engines, you could actually find this calculator, and it's everywhere. There's also an ovulation predictor kit. Now, this can be anywhere between $20 and $50, and you can pick this up at most of your pharmacies for if you really want to sit down and drill down on this. You can count the days, of course, the calendar method. The easiest way to estimate when you'll ovulate is to count back. First, figure out what day your next period will probably start. If your period is very irregular, this method won't work for you, so watch out. Work with your GYN on that one. From that day, count back 12 days and then another 4. You're most likely to ovulate during this 5-day range. If you're one of the many women who have a 28-day cycle, and that's kind of common out there, there's a good chance you'll ovulate on day 14. Day 1 is the first day of your period. Day 28 is the last before day 1 of your next period. So that's kind of the calendar method. There are other methods too, where you're looking at basal body temperature and cervical mucus. That means your vaginal discharge. Good grief, this can get a little bit complex here. And, you know, you're basically learning how your body works throughout your entire cycle. So, you know, there's the calendar method, just kind of getting to know yourself. Me, throughout most of my life, I was always on that calendar. And you could also have your hormone levels checked. If you really don't understand what's going on with your body, whenever there is a question, it's incredibly important, please, to be your best advocate. Rely upon your resources. Go to your primary care team. Sit down with them and say, hey, educate me, for crying out loud. And then if you want to, go on to the internet and look at one of those ovulation calculators and see how close you are with your calendar method. There's all kinds of ways to be able to do cross-check and balance. So there you have it, 3 great questions. And we thank you so much for contributing your questions to Ask Her, because Michelle and I are right here waiting to answer every one of your questions. I'm Dr. Pam Peake with Michelle King Robeson. Listen to Her Radio and all the great shows on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Whatever you do, please stay well.